Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I worship you and praise you and thank you because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I want to thank you for this magnificent owner's manual that you've written that we call the Word of God, the Holy Bible. This book is a book that tells us exactly what to do and how to do it. And Lord, it's just amazing how many different ways we read and interpret this book. But Father, thank you that you say that no scripture is a private interpretation, but only as revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. So Father, when the Holy Ghost reveals this book to us, we got it. I ask you to do that today as we read and discuss this mighty book. I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now today I want to talk about a verse in the book, actually a couple of chapters, primarily one chapter, Daniel chapter 3. I realize that I've read this book and read this book and read this book, and some of it I've read hundreds of times and maybe even many hundreds of times, parts of it, and I have meditated on this book and studied this book. And it never ceases to amaze me the new things that I continuously learn in this book. Today, I'm going to talk about something that a young man from seminary asked me a question on here a while back. And I was amazed at how many people, including myself, how many years we misunderstood this particular chapter. Or should I say, myself. Now, I may not have the exact interpretation of what I'm going to say here, but I think I understand it because I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. So I want to, what brought this about was this young man in seminary just a few months ago. He goes to my church, and I guess him and his professors were studying this, and he had a question about it. And so he came and asked me what I believed about this book, about this chapter of Daniel chapter 3. And of course, I read the verse, read the whole chapter, and where he had questions, I answered him. And he told me I was wrong. And so I told him, I said, well, son, let me read it and just meditate on it a little more this week. But I said, I believe it's quite simple. I believe it says exactly what it says. And so anyway, he went off and I went to study, and I still got the same revelation or the same understanding I'd had all the time. But he came back next week and he said that several of his professors, and I don't even know, I wouldn't even begin to tell you what seminary it was. It makes no difference. But he said they totally disagreed with me on my interpretation of this. So anyway, I'll just leave it out here for you to look at. I may be wrong. I've been wrong on things before. But I'm going to read this chapter to you, and we're going to discuss it. I don't know how long it'll take. It may take a couple of sessions. I only have 15-minute radio shows, so it may take a couple of sessions to discuss this. But in chapter 3, what I'm going to call this particular chapter is what faith, true faith, real faith, no doubting faith can do for you. Because these young men had that bold kind of faith that moves the hand of God. And when we have that same kind of faith, it does wonderful things for us. So I want you to see, as we talk about this, where the question is and what it's all about faith. Now then, we go to the scriptures in Daniel chapter 3. Now this is about Nebuchadnezzar and these three young men. It says, now Nebuchadnezzar, which was the king, he made an image of gold. Now, if I don't know if this thing is solid gold, gold-plated or whatever, but if it was solid gold, he had some serious gold. It says he made an image of gold. Now, whose height was, and it's talking about here in the Bible, 70 cubits, which is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. It's 70 cubits in height, and in the width of it, it was 6 cubits. So that means this thing, according to the interpretation, was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, even if that thing was just plated with gold, there was a lot of serious gold on this thing. But the scripture says that he made an image of gold. So, who knows? Anyway, that's what it says. And it was set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princesses, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Now, he had built this big, giant statue of himself, evidently, and he was going to set it up there. Now, this was not uncommon over in this part of the world, because many years ago, 35 or so, many years ago, I had the privilege to go to Egypt. And when I went to Egypt, I went all down through that country and looked at all the pyramids and went down to Abu Simbel and the King's Valley of the Kings and Queens and all of those places, and I looked at all these giant statues. I mean, they were made out of stone. Most of them are made out of some kind of limestone or granite. But those were huge, huge statues. And they all, you know, it's amazing how they made those things. And then the next king come along would deface them and cut the face off of them or break the face off of them. They'd leave the statue standing there, but they would deface them. You talk about a bunch of men that they were their own gods. Well, let me tell you, these men were their own gods. And it says that, and this Nebuchadnezzar was no difference. So then it says, then the princes, the governor, and the captains, and all these people, as the king, he got them all together for the dedication of this thing. And then I'm going to kind of paraphrase part of these scriptures. Then he says, the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages. And this is all of them. All these people in government and everything, that at the time you hear the sound of all this music, he talks about all kinds of musical instruments here. He said that when you hear these, you will fall down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. You will fall down. You are going to do, it's a command. It's not if you want to. They didn't have no religious freedom at all. I mean, this guy, he's a dictator. And he says, and if you fall not down and worship this golden image, you shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Immediate death. That would give you a very good, that would inspire you, wouldn't it? If they were to come down today and say, if you don't do this, if a government agency was to come down and say, if you don't do this, then we're going to throw you in a burning fiery furnace. Wow. You'd think that couldn't happen. Well, it did back in this day. And anything can happen. If we don't stand for our religious freedoms and do what we're supposed to do, it's not long we're going to be like this. Because this country here was controlled, Babylon was controlled by this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, which technically was controlled by the enemy, the devil. Because there's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. And so it's obvious who he was controlled by. Now, and he's talking about you will bow down and you will do this. But as they all did this, there was obviously some people in the kingdom that would not bow down. And, of course, the people of government agencies, whenever they found these certain Chaldeans, that has come near and accused these Jews. Now these the people from Babylon, these governors and so forth, when they found out that there were some of these Jews that would not bow down and worship this idol, well, they were going to be tattletales, of course. And so they run right over there and they spoke to the king in verse 9, and they told him, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, and so on and so forth, he's talking about all the musical instruments, he said, they shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Now these young men were in government offices that you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, whose names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him. Then they brought these men before the king. Now Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to be, you know, he's going to find out for himself here. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and so on and so forth, all these musical instruments, and all kinds of music, if you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Now this is a mighty tough thing to be presented with. If you will not bow down and worship my golden idol, whenever I have my people play all this music, if you will not do that, I'm going to throw you into the burning fiery furnace. Now let me tell you, there is a lot of people today that doesn't even begin to approach this kind of a problem. Today, we're just told that you can't talk about Jesus in the workplace. It's not politically correct. And so there's people that won't talk about Jesus, and all the only thing they threaten you with is to either reprimand you or cost you your job. These men were told that if they didn't bow down and worship their gods, which was no God at all, they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. If you were put to that kind of test, if it come to that and you were put to that kind of test, how would you fare up? Well, let me tell you, most people today that are Christians know so little about their God. Most of us. Now, I used to be there, but I'm not there anymore. I was confronted with the forces of darkness a few years ago, and it cost me my job. But when it did, the Lord put me into the ministry full time. And He has done awesome things since that day. Well, tomorrow we'll continue to talk about this great faith these men had. Now, if you'd like to have any of our teaching or this teaching in its entirety, go to our website, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order tapes and stuff. They're free and postpaid. We don't charge anything for our information. Or you can call us at 940-242-2106 for free and postpaid tapes. Have a blessed day in Jesus.